WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Officials have been reading off the names of at least 177 people known dead after a plane crash at South Korea's Muan Airport. For some reason, the plane's landing gear didn't come down. The Boeing 737-800 made a belly landing that ended with the jet torn apart and exploding. Reporter Jen Moon on the BBC.
What the relatives and the loved ones are hearing is that the fire service has actually suggested it could have been because of a collision with birds and poor weather conditions. The transport ministry officials have said that their early assessment of communication records showed the airport control tower issued a bird strike warning to the plane shortly before it intended to land and gave its pilot permission to land in a different area. The pilot then sent out a distress signal shortly before the plane went past the runway and skidded across the buffer zone here at the airport.
181 people were aboard. Two crew members are the only known survivors. Investigators say they have recovered the plane's black boxes. At least two people have been killed, six injured after tornadoes that touched down in Texas and Mississippi. Robert Perry lives in Katy, Texas, near Houston.
Man, I hope this thing dies out before it picks up, causes even more damage.
Florida's panhandle is getting some of that rough weather this morning. There are two long lines of storms from East Alabama and Little Rock on north. Palestinian officials say seven people were killed, others seriously wounded, in an Israeli airstrike in the upper floor of a hospital in the center of Gaza City. BBC's Danielle Yavyetska.
Hamas has asked the United Nations to send observers to hospitals in Gaza to investigate Israeli allegations that the group is using them for military purposes. Hamas has asked the international community to protect the remaining hospitals in northern Gaza and provide them with medical supplies.
Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is hospitalized. His office says surgeons are removing his prostate. CBS's Linda Gradstein.
The announcement raised new questions about the 75-year-old Netanyahu's health. Last year, he was hospitalized for what he said was dehydration, but was surgery to install a pacemaker. In March, he had surgery for a hernia. The Prime Minister's office said doctors discovered an infection in his urinary tract resulting from a benign enlargement of his prostate. The operation could affect testimony in his ongoing criminal trial for fraud and breach of trust.
Belgium will ban the sale of electronic cigarettes as of the new year on health and environmental grounds, considered groundbreaking for EU nations. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. If you're not feeling too festive this year, it's not just you. The holiday season can be hard for a variety of reasons. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
In Wisconsin, the recent school shooting tragedy in Madison can compound feelings of loneliness and grief that are already common this time of year. Mary Kay Battaglia, who heads the National Alliance on Mental Illness Wisconsin chapter, says seeing others celebrating can also contribute to feelings of stress.
You see everyone around you, the commercials, it's festive, right? Everyone else is festive. And sometimes you're not feeling as festive as what social media or the commercials you're seeing are telling you you should feel.
NAMI reports 3 in 5 Americans feel the holidays negatively impact their mental health. Adults are encouraged to pay special attention to the young people in their lives this time of year. State data indicate about 1/3 of young Wisconsinites report feelings of sadness and hopelessness nearly every day. Battaglia believes it's another sign that local communities need to focus more on how to help people reconnect in meaningful ways.
We've had social media take us to a place that allows us to think we're connecting, but we're not really. We're not connecting with people. And so I think it's really important that youth feel connected in some way that's real and honest and in person.
For those who don't have friends or family close, Battaglia says the Uplift Wisconsin hotline is open 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily, and anyone can call if they need someone to talk with. And if you're experiencing a mental health crisis, you can call 988 to reach the National Suicide and Crisis Hotline. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Watch out for some areas of dense fog giving way to plenty of clouds across the area today. Our winds will remain light as highs top out in the upper 30s. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Could be some patchy fog. Overnight low temperatures dropping into the lower 30s. It's 30 at our studios.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, he need cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren, president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And I know he's at a bougie party and I didn't get invited to. So we have only one segment with Robert. Hey, welcome, Robert.
Yeah, bougie Robert Haley. So nice to be here. It's not that bougie. You're the one that goes to all the bougie events.
Busted. Hey, so I want to just say, hey, we are going to say a big happy holidays to you. That's coming up. And I want to also congratulate you on 10 years. I believe it's 10 years. You just celebrated a wedding anniversary up on the North Shore like you do every year.
Yeah, Miigwech. Yeah, that's our getaway spot. It's our special place. It's funny, my husband and I, that was already our special place. And then we got together and it's more so we honeymooned up there. We got married on December 13th, 2014. So the date was 12, 13, 14. Easy to remember. This was 10 years, which is kind of an accomplishment. So had a beautiful getaway, disconnected, and now I'm back and energized and ready for the holidays.
Well, I know we are always excited with your updates, and I just want to keep it kind of cool and mellow here. What would you like to talk about? Because we have a shorter segment with you, and I'd really, I know there's things happening at all my relations, and, there's a thing coming up Friday on the 20th from 3 to 7, you know, celebrating art movement and the artist of Josie Hoffman's with her current exhibit.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And so I'd invite people to go to our website, nacdi.org, nacdi.org, or allmyrelationsarts.org. And we'll get to you and get a schedule of what's going on. And there is so much going on. Tons going on right in the local community. Tomorrow there'll be a holiday, a winter market sale at the Minneapolis American Indian Center on East Franklin Avenue. And just before that, there's a winter sale at Little Earth of United Tribes, just off the American Indian Cultural Corridor. So there is a lot going on in the community. And I'd encourage people to stop on down to the American Indian Cultural Corridor, East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Yeah, so what do you have cooking? What do you usually do during the holidays? I know we're going to have a special holiday here at the Pilot Homestead because we have our little grandchildren now and be celebrating the holidays with them.
This is their first Christmas, huh?
Yeah, 4 months old.
That'll be lovely. So congratulations on that, and I know you're going to enjoy that. Holidays are always a little more fun when there's a bunch of, when there's babies around or children around. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
Call it an act. So fun. Yeah, so the, you know, it's a series. My family, I get together on Christmas Day. I'm going for the first time on Christmas Eve to a Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Oh, yeah. That's an Italian thing here. Yeah. I've done that with Wendy's family.
Love it. And so, yeah, it's an Italian tradition, seven seafood dishes. That's on Christmas Eve. I've never done that before. So we'll see. Going with family, Steve, my sister-in-law, my younger sister, and a couple of family friends. And so that's kind of fun and interesting. And so it's just, it's a nice time of year. I was just thinking about that on my way to this, what you call a bougie party. And when I was a young adult, I was just a Christmas wreck, right? I was racing around and trying to do, you know, all those last minute things and stressing out. And I've somehow managed to shed that through the years, and it's helped that being married to Steve, because he views the holidays as a series of tasks to be completed. So he's very efficient. We start early. The house is decorated after Thanksgiving. We do our Christmas cookie baking, and that's what we give as gifts. So there isn't a lot of shopping, and so it's just a much mellower time. It seems to fit the season.
Yeah, and it's about family, and it's about when it comes to presents too. I think it's about the children, and we'll have to be weaning off our adult children here on the big presents and start mainstreaming it to the little ones. Ho, wow.
Well, and it's, you know, I'm from a big family, right? So there was always a lot of presenting and to each other and to our nieces and nephews, and it just kept growing and growing and growing until there was this one year. We were all at my folks' house out in Ham Lake, Minnesota, for Christmas, and the half of the room was filled with presents, right? All just around that, and we looked at that, and we were like, this is gross. And so we go back, be more community service-minded, just give limited gifts, and I liked that. And so now giving Christmas cookies, something homemade, something Steve, my husband, he's a wizard with flour, sugar, butter, and eggs. He makes these incredible range of Christmas cookies, and people love them. So it's a pace that I feel is more comfortable with the solstice, with storytelling, with the holiday. Mm-hmm. We enjoy it.
Yeah, and it's more personal, you know. When I'll swing by and pick up my big bag later tomorrow, but it's more personal when you get stuff like that. Also, too, it's like over the years, it's hard to come up with those seven fishes. And I know Wendy's aunt cheated every once in a while and would have shrimp and then like pasta and shrimp and call those too. So I'm curious to hear how legit. This seven fishes will be. We'll have to talk about that.
We shall see. I think, as I understand it, kind of anything from the sea qualifies. So, and his aunt was, you know, legit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Wendy, the more she takes her DNA test, it keeps on switching to more Sicilian. So things are starting to make sense over here.
Well, and did you tell me when you were younger you used to pass for Italian, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, that was exactly. Yeah, that's a whole different show.
We'll have to cover that someday. Yeah. And going on down in the community, you know, I was really proud to be part of the community and part of the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors MUD, we call it. It's a 50-plus-year-old Native Leadership Forum here in the Twin Cities, and it's just really been beefing up over the last decade or so, and now we're trying to hold resource holders, especially public sector elected officials and others, accountable for doing so little to address the conditions of our unsheltered relatives. And so just today we blasted out a communication to the mayor, city council members, county commissioners, metropolitan council members, the staff leadership. And that just happened this morning, a little before noon, I think. And I'm already getting calls. I'm like, what? What's going on? The message line was mandatory meeting. And so MUD is demanding some response. And we've been dancing around these issues since the Wall of Forgotten Natives almost 6 years ago. And we feel that the public sector has not been responding, either as the private sector or philanthropy either. But this is where we're starting. We're so together. Leadership is meeting tomorrow to strategize. And yeah, we'll see if this time we get some kind of.
That's great. And I know we've talked deep about it, how everyone's kind of pointing at the other agencies that they should take care of it. It's the old Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz pointing going this way or that way, you know, north or south.
As our lieutenant governor, our writer sister said, calls it jurisdictional four square. Everyone's wants it.
Exactly. Well, Robert, I'm really happy that you were able to jump on. And again, congratulations on 10 years, you two. That's beautiful, and that's awe-inspiring. And also, happy holidays. We won't be able to see you for a while, but it's great to see you now.
Okay, holidays, Haley. Have a good one, Robert.
Right on. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Yes, and I am awake, and that's great. Hey, you know, it's fun. We Wendy and I were talking a little bit before the show, and there's a couple things I want to bring up, and one of them is that she had a dream about clearing me out of this room, too, now, Haley.
Oh, no. Let's hear it, Wendy. I want to
hear it. I did have a dream. So Robert has an office.
I had a studio at one time, too.
He had a studio, radio studio in one room, and then he had his office in another room. So then when the babies were born, I was like, you please consolidate into one, because I'm going to need one of these rooms for a nursery. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't care which one you pick, just pick one. And I was really happy he picked the smaller room, because, you know, we have two cribs, changing table,
This wouldn't have done.
Yeah. You know, a toy box and a rocking chair in the nursery. But anyway, I had a dream that his office was like, he's got a lot of stuff in it, let's just put it that way. I had a dream that it was empty.
Look at Haley.
Oh man, I don't even know if I could dream, you know,
that big.
If it could be empty and cleared out and organized.
I'm telling you.
Well, also too, we talked a little bit about the seven fishes, and I know your aunt sometimes cheated a little bit over the years, where she'd have shrimp and then she'd have shrimp in pasta and count it as two, right?
Yeah, sometimes she would. So it's an Italian tradition.
And for Wendy's Christmas Italian, Eve, Sicilian.
Yeah, so Christmas Eve growing up, every Christmas Eve we would have seven fishes, and it signifies and symbolizes the seven sacraments in the Catholic religion, and that's where the seven fish come from. But yeah, I mean, like, how many fish can you think of? So, you know, she would make shrimp scampi and then, you know, fried shrimp, and that she counted that as two, but that's kind of cheating, you know? and now that I've been, you know, I've been vegan for I don't know how long, but, you know.
Yeah, and we're not big churchgoers either anymore.
Not anymore, no. Kind of anti-church. Yeah. Anti-Catholic church, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a whole nother show and a whole different story. But
We'll have to bring back Pilate's Progressive Party.
But anyway,
to talk
we really, it was a, you know, my aunt still does it. You know, yeah. She still does the seven fish every Christmas Eve.
We'll have to. Well, go ahead, Haley.
Oh no, I was just thinking, what if you're Italian and you didn't like fish, or like you, or like you're vegan or something?
Yeah, so I wouldn't.
I don't think
you have
to eat all the fish, do you?
You don't have to eat it all. No, if you don't like my grandmother, she used to eat bacala, and it was like a codfish that was salted, and she'd have to like leave it in water like for 2 days before she'd cook it because it was so salty.
Oh,
but it was bacala, and that's what she my grandmother ate every Christmas. But yeah, we'd have the whole thing.
Well, and everybody knows Wendy, and she's my awesome and beautiful wife, and then she's co-creator of Native Roots Radio. Back in the days, we're in the basement of AM 950 every Saturday, and then we had Pilot's Progressive Party on Wednesdays for a year or so. That was fun. Mm-hmm. Also, we have a store down Dayton's, and I know you and I did the market, Shakopee Market, and then also we've had kind of a pop-up at Dayton's in downtown Minneapolis, and it's doing really well this year.
It is doing really well. People should check it out. They have 103 different vendors in Dayton's, downtown Minneapolis. I don't know it's like on Nicollet and 7th, or Nicollet and 8th. Downtown, and it's beautiful. The way it's set up, and it's just really beautiful inside. And 103 different vendors, and we have our Native Roots Trading Post in there, tucked in the J.B. Hutton.
Hudson Room. It used to be the jewelry store, and they couldn't touch it because Dayton's was built like. Part of it was built in 1910, and then they expanded it, and they have the whole block. But it's an old building, and they couldn't change anything because it was on the Minnesota Registry of Old
Historic.
Stuff.
But anyway, we have a lot of good stuff there.
Your painting sold.
My painting sold.
Your bison painting.
I love those. Wendy does beautiful animal portraits as well.
So I walked in, and it was like there. I just really... I mean, we had a price tag on it, and I was like, well, if we sell it, we sell it. I didn't think we would, you know. It was more for, like, decoration. And then it wasn't there when I went, and the cashier said, oh, your bison's painting sold yesterday. I was like, it did, and you know what? I kind of felt really sad.
Because you were attached to it.
I do. I really get attached to, especially the animals that I paint. Mm-hmm. I really get attached to them.
You make like copies of your paintings too, right? And do cards?
I do. So there's cards down there in at Dayton's, and I have so the bison that I painted is also on T-shirts. It's on greeting cards, and we have it on some of the jean jackets. So it's kind of cool. Anyway, I do get attached to them.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, because I paint the eyes very soon after I just do their outline, so that like I'm painting somebody. You know what I mean? You know, so it really, I get into it, and I, you know, get attached to them.
I really truly believe that with all your art upstairs too, that. You know, we see a lot of art like at the grandstand at the state fair, and they do prints. They're not selling the originals.
Yeah,
So yeah. Wendy.
And I wasn't paying. Listen,
Wendy didn't think she was going to sell it.
Well, I put a very low price tag on it, too. I mean, it wasn't sold for very much money. But anyway, I was just, you know what? It makes me happy to just think that, you know, it's hanging in somebody else's house and they're enjoying it. So it really, really makes me happy. So,
well, Haley, you're a painter, too. We've seen a lot of
you. Haley does beautiful watercolor, which I don't even do because it's so hard.
Yeah, Haley, come on. Get a couple paintings.
About your watercolors. They're beautiful. Landscapes, just beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's I kind of switch in between my 10 different ADHD hobbies and pick up something. But yeah, watercolor painting's been fun. I like to paint like native land. So I do a lot of like landscapes and I get my inspiration just like hiking at different state parks or around the state. And I do photography. So if I take a good picture, I'll try to paint it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, Haley's also been beading too. I saw a hat that she's going to gift me for Christmas been beading.
Important to be creative.
It's really helped me a lot. Just like try to connect more with culture. And this is like something we were talking about yesterday with Leah and her first time she went wild ricing recently. And it's like, no matter if you haven't done something that, you know, maybe your ancestors did or was part of your culture and you don't know how to do something, like, don't be afraid to try it. You don't know if you're going to be good at it or not. And you're not going to get better at it if you don't try.
You know, when we talked about this too, as it being a discipline. And I know when you go up there or working on something, Wendy, you're a disciplined, you get on it and you work on it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, everyone can paint and draw to a certain extent, but to find your voice or find the way you paint, it needs to be a discipline.
Mm. Yeah. I this is me though, too. Sometimes I'm like, oh, well, let me just, you know, clean up here or do a load of laundry first, or, oh, let me change the sheets on the bed first. Let me get all that done first. Then I'll paint. And it's just so funny. Today, I was reading something that said, if you do all those things, you're just, you know, when you're feeling creative, just let everything go and go create, because you know, it doesn't come very, you know, it doesn't come to me every day. I don't feel like doing it every day, but when it does happen, you should just go and do it and just kind of say, you know, the heck with everything else. You know, you're always going to have housework to do.
You know? Well, you and Micah also have been doing the resin, and I know you did a lot of good resin that, I don't know, is that proper English? You had a lot of really great pieces, I should say.
Yeah.
At Shakopee that sold, and also a lot of them that sold down at Dayton's. And that's a lot of work and discipline.
It's fun to do and it's creative to do. And what we kind of did was we take like, you know, old broken Native American jewelry that, you know, you can't really do anything with anymore.
Or one earring
or something. We try to like put it into something new. So we'll put it into the, you know, the resin. We'll put the wild rice and the native corn in the resin and we'll make earrings, or we'll take feathers and we'll put those in, and we'll take, you know, just different, you know, pieces of beads and just little things that we have on broken jewelry and just put it, you know, like repurpose it. And it really comes out, you know, sometimes beautiful. But like you said, Haley, sometimes you know, you get painting or doing something, it just doesn't come out right. Just paint over it and start over again. That's all.
Yeah, because when you're not feeling creative and, like, say you're doing other things before that and then you put aside time to be creative, it's like once you get there, you don't feel creative. So it's hard to do it.
Exactly.
So if you're feeling creative, just go and do it. The dishes will get done later when you're done, and the laundry will get done when you're done. Just go create.
That's good advice.
I think so.
Hey, this is Native Roots
Radio. The house
Radio.
Is going to heck.
Yeah, we got babies all over the place. It's like the house is trash, but hey, we're enjoying it
very much.
No, not. Yeah. I think I heard Silas say choka, so he's talking a lot. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. CBS News special report in Muan, South Korea. Officials have been announcing the names of 177 people killed in the crash of a South Korean jet. Reporter Jen Moon.
Heartbreaking scenes continue to unfold here at Muan International Airport as more than 100 family members gather.
181 people were aboard, two crew members, the only known survivors. The Muan fire chief has heard through an interpreter.
We are presuming the cause of the accident to be a bird strike or deteriorating weather conditions, and the exact cause will be determined by a further forensic and joint investigation.
Investigators have recovered the plane's black boxes. Jeju Airlines CEO Kim Ebae.
I bow in apology to everyone who's cherished Jeju Air. Above all, I want to give my sincere apology and condolences to those who've lost their lives in the accident and their families.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers skate to victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college hockey. The Wisconsin Badgers beat Ferris State in a shutout, 8-0 last night in the holiday faceoff at Fiserv Forum. Three Badgers players, Quinn Finley, Rylan Mosley, and Kyle Kekkonen, each scored a pair of goals. Wisconsin advances to the final tonight against UConn. NBA. The Bucks lose in Chicago to the Bulls, 116-111. Damian Lillard was back with 29 points and 12 assists, but it wasn't enough. Giannis Antetokounmpo missing his fourth straight game. He's dealing with a non-COVID illness. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
It felt like we were playing with fool's gold the entire night. I thought defensively we had no presence. You know, think about it. I think they were shooting 58% at halftime. We were shooting 44% and it was a two-point game. So you felt like either we're going to start really defending and then our offense will go up, or we're not and it's going to be a tight game, and that's what it was.
NFL, the Packers against the Vikings in Minnesota. A recap coming up after the game tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Watch out for some areas of dense fog giving way to plenty of clouds across the area today. Our winds will remain light as highs top out in the upper 30s. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Could be some patchy fog. Overnight, low temperatures dropping into the lower 30s. It's 30 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. Be looking for another challenge in 2025. Defying precedent, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full Eighth Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full Fifth Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the Fifth Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the Eighth Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler. And welcome, Heather, and I want to wish you a happy birthday. And you're celebrating a couple things here, but I want to wish you a happy birthday and the state and the family and people that listen to the show and myself and Wendy and Haley are really blessed that you were born.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm like, Haley, what should we talk about? She's like, we could talk about your birthday. I'm like, that sounds like a great plan. So thanks. Also, I feel like I'm kind of coming into that stage in my life where like birthdays are just, they have a different meaning to them. I think, you know, the older we get, we know that life is so precious, and really, you know, getting here, despite, you know, some of the odds that we face is really, something to celebrate, but also like, I really like to think about it. I put a post up that I always find like a grounding word, and I'm not totally sure that's the right definition, but every year I kind of give myself a word of what I'm going to be really intentional about when I, you know, live out my life in a journey around the sun. And it's been interesting because the last, I would say, feels like 7 to 8 years, my words have been very bold and fierce and independent and like that warrior style mentality, because I feel like that's what I really had to do. And I am excited that I feel this internal shift to be a little bit more calm, relational and intentional. And so my word of the year is actually harmony, which is not a word, and like life harmony is like creating this balance. And I sort of feel like there's a lot of chaos in the outside society, what's going on. And maybe just a reminder to all of us that leaning into like harmony and balance as we go into the next year in general is a shift in maybe the stress that we're all feeling. But yeah, so it's kind of a fun thing to talk about when it comes to birthdays is just intentionality and how we really want to celebrate and show up in the world. So thanks.
Happy birthday. And, you know, you wouldn't have liked me when I was in my 20s and 30s. And when I got into my 40s, I started mellowing out. And it was about, it probably had to do with my recovery from drugs and alcohol, is that it was more about other people than myself. And you have to give it away to keep it and all those things. And you have an anniversary, too.
I do. You know, it's the day after Christmas is actually my 1 year sobriety date. And I keep saying like, I never really knew I had a problem until I figured out like I had a problem, you know, and it's like going through the first year is a really interesting journey because you have to be really head on with the emotions. And I'll be really honest, Robert, you know, like the holidays are just really, really hard. I mean, they're hard in general, like they're celebratory and we get to see each other. I'm super excited because DJ's home from college. But, you know, we also carry a lot of grief in this time of year. Just it's dark, depression in general. And I feel like that then is linked to sobriety and like how we navigate through kind of the hard times. And, you know, I'm really recognizing the masking that I utilized alcohol for, either in celebrations, hard times, I'm bored, like it was just this really big part of my life. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that my heart is feeling more harmony and trying to figure out this calm in the same time frame that I'm journeying through sobriety. And Robert, you're like, I don't mean to get emotional and I really don't want to, but you've been such a support to me in a lot of ways, you know, politically has been one thing, but watching you and Wendy just live your life and be an example. And I think that that's what we all need in this world is to have the people who aren't necessarily like those blood relatives, but are really those relatives to us. And I'm just so grateful for the family that you've provided me and the inspiration to realize that like sobriety is cool and sobriety is healthy. And, you know, our next generation's really need that because you just celebrated 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's a big deal.
And I think you're kind of talking about what my theme has been in recovery has been to thank people that have helped me and have uplifted me and still uplift me. You know, I just think about taking a right instead of a left and things, good things happen and being able to, I remember talk to a person that had like 17 years and I almost drank one time. I had like 3 months of sobriety and I was at a bar cashing my check and I ran into some people I went to high school with and we were going to go out and smoke some weed and drink and blah, blah, blah. And then somebody like that had 17 years asked me a poignant question, like if I had ever heard of a bank before, you know, because I was cashing my check at a bar. Yeah. So it's just changing the left and the right and a little thinking and a little tweaking. Because, you know, one of the things that was told to me, and I'm dumb enough to believe it, is that people that quit drinking and sober up and live a good life are unbelievable and they find something and they become unbelievably well at. And I believe the guys. So, you know, that we're here for a reason. And now it isn't a cloudy reason. It's something we can really take the left or right direction and help people.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, that's been part of just like recreating my life. I say all the time, like, I don't even want to create a situation that I'm walking close to the cliff. You know, like I used to love going to karaoke, probably will still go, you know, I'm not like the greatest singer, but it's a fun thing to do. But I just don't go as often because of the environment. Even to the point that I didn't go back home recently to see a bunch of my family because I saw, you know, a snap of what they were doing. And it just, for my own health, I just choose not to walk close to the cliff if I don't have to. And even setting up a plan and session, you know, it's like, I'm going to go Zumba every Tuesday. You know, there's just like things that I really am excited to explore as I build kind of this healthier pattern. You know, one of the things we did is we went to the play and going to more theater and going to more things. And your daughter was in the play. And so that was really exciting. But it's also funny that some of the humor that was in the play was the exact thing that we're all working through in our lives.
Yeah. And Jaleesa McKee was awesome. And I went to see her twice. Really proud of her. And also, it's a funny thing, too. Talk about sobriety. My wife, Jaleesa, Jelaine, of course, the grandchildren have never seen me drunk. And that's something that's a gift totally, because I know we talk a lot about, you know, tragic things happening in our lives or a black cloud following us. And I didn't have to put that bad medicine on them.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool too. Cause like, we've also talked about you and the grandbabies and just the impact of that generational piece and like the examples you can provide for them and the healthy environment, you know, that we're providing for our kids. It was interesting last night cause I had my first birthday party, you know, not being in an alcoholic environment. And we played King's Corner. We like had fry bread tacos. We like just, it was really great to like just hang out. And I think sober fun is really overlooked. And I do really wish society would start providing more of sobriety options, like sober karaoke, like sober bowling alleys. You know what I mean? I just feel like there's such a blend that society has a role in providing those opportunities for us, I think, as well.
Absolutely. And we do karaoke on our boat and also during the holidays. So we'll be singing and the little ones will have head muffs or ear muffs on so they don't hear us. But I'm picking out the songs now. I've been going on YouTube here and I'm excited. So when you said karaoke, it's like, I'll have to bring the speaker and the mic and we hook it up to YouTube too. So it's all blended out of one microphone and bring it to your office during session.
I was just going to say, Haley, do you feel like this sounds like I just got a boat invite for karaoke with Robert Pilot? Is that what it feels like just happened?
I would say yes, but I'm still waiting to be taken on the boat to do karaoke. Well,
last year, the river so high, and then it was so high, and there was stuff floating in it. I got on the boat twice.
That's true.
Neither times were with us, just to be very clear.
So, now we'll have to go on a special karaoke river tour.
Right on. Yeah. We'll make it happen, definitely.
He committed. Did you hear that? He just committed.
Right. On live radio. Well, yeah, definitely. And that's so cool. And I know, we've talked about, taking care of yourself. And we talk about this a lot on Native Roots Radio about being good to ourselves. And I know that's a journey you, Haley, and me, and everybody have been on, and where's the balance of that? And so that's great. It's great for you and great for your family that you're going to be present. And I'm one of those people that said I never knew any of this, because I've always seen the cool Heather. I've never seen any of this. So, but you're your own person and know what you're going through and where you're at. So I just applaud that so much.
Thanks. And I think part of the healing has been able to talk about it. And this platform and this space has been such a real way to talk about it. Like, I remember from the very beginning, it was speak your truth. That's what we said. And that's what we do. And that's the space that you create. And so this platform, has really allowed me the opportunity to talk about the hardships that I think I'm not alone in. I really believe mental health, seasonal depression, the stress of jobs, the idea of being a mom and doing all of these things and sending really great stellar humans out into the world. There's just a lot that we carry. And we just don't have the time and capacity to care for ourselves. And so I once heard that as you go through your own healing journey, when you get to the point that you can talk about it, it kind of is the next step in your own journey. And I always think that there's got to be somebody out there who just needs to hear that they're not alone and that their feelings aren't isolated. And so it's really a lot of gratitude to you and Native Roots Radio to provide the space to talk about it, and then also provide the resources that if people struggle with mental health or just need different resources in the community, y'all are so good at sharing that out and leaning in to support. So I think it's a team effort.
Can you on another segment here, or do you got to go?
Yeah, I'm here.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler. We'll be right back. Watching.
93.5 The Tap.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed? It was an itsy-bitsy, yes, itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, yellow polka-dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, that was good. Hey, we're here with our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler, and we're just kind of talking about life, and I think that's really cool when you can do that. And so what are your plans here in the next couple of weeks? I know we celebrate the fact that we give gifts and get together with the family, but we're not really the big Christmas people that we used to be. But it's a good time of year. Like I said, we're going to do karaoke, and we're going to have the grandkids over here for their first Christmas, and buy them presents that they won't remember.
But there will be plenty of pictures of, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, and I believe this time of year is for children, you know, so, I mean, to celebrate them and spoil them a little bit.
Yeah. This time of year is always interesting for like so many reasons. And the Indian education liaison person in me always worries about food and like what our kids are doing, because we, you know, school's out tomorrow. It's really great that everybody gets to go be with their families. But I also like to remind people, like, we all know of those friends that are maybe not close to family. They live far away. You know, single moms that maybe are in a community that's not close to the support systems they have, you know, like, reach out, be extended family. I think it's really important that we talk a lot about relationships and how much they matter. We also talk about how depression and, you know, seasonal depression kicks in a lot during the holidays. And again, we all have a responsibility in taking care of our community. So as you do these things with your family, just really consider who else is in your network that maybe just wants to share a meal or join some fun. I'm one of those transplants. You know, I ended up in Moorhead because of school purposes, stayed here. My kids are here. And so I'm pretty far from home. And I'll tell you, like, having an invite to do something with somebody else that feels like a family system in the holidays is just so powerful and so meaningful. And as Indigenous people, we're always like communal and sharing food and sharing space. And so the holidays are great. I love getting together, but I always have this caveat of trying to remember the people who really need those structures in life to get, you know, food and have adults check on them. And so it's our responsibility as relatives to check in with each other, I think, too, over the holidays.
Wow, that's a really good point. And I had forgotten this, but, you know, I taught for 30 years, and Wendy and I always used to anonymously donate money to families, our Native community, and I kind of miss that now and hadn't thought about that until you brought that up, how important and game-changing that is. And it's not, like you said, it's not like we're donating money so they can go buy Hot Wheels. It's so they can eat and be, you know, and feed their kids. And, you know, that's the spirit of the holidays. That you hit that right on the head.
Yeah, like I saw a post. I've seen a couple posts of some of these really big nonprofits that do really good work in the communities. And they're all saying they're like massively down in their toys donations this year. You know, that's something that like our communities really do. Our nonprofits step up and do these like toy drives and do things so that kids can experience the holiday joy without having to put like financial pressure on families, because you know, financial times are hard, and often in holiday seasons, because kids want to be able to go back to school and say they got things, you know, parents really go without right now. January is very hard financially for families. And so like, we have plenty of time, you know, if you're in your car, if you're stopping at Target, if you're going places, really look for those opportunities too, because, you know, you can change lives with a couple toys to a good organization and maybe like save some food money for that mom. It's just, how do we think about the holidays from a giving perspective outside of just the people in our like close-knit circle?
Yeah, it's really a good point. And again, we kind of talked about sobriety earlier, and it's always been, it's funny, you know, to give it away, to keep it, you know, whether that's taking somebody to a meeting or treatment or whatever, how you're staying sober with works for you. But I have experienced in my life in the last 30, 40 years, whenever I give anything out, whether it's money or time, I get back tenfold, literally. And So that's the big secret that I would like to leave my children with and my grandchildren with, is that the more you give out, the more comes back.
Mm-hmm. It's the circle of life. I mean, if you really think about it in a way, like, you know, the universe, and it works in really wonderful ways. And when we put into it, you know, is what we get back. That's, you know, that's like our whole living style, really. Like, it's the gift mentality. I'm reading right now, Braiding Sweetgrass. You know, it talks a lot about that mentality. I think Haley, you and I talked about it a little bit. I feel like we always kind of touch on it. And it is really cool if you are in a gift-giving mentality, that everything is a gift to you. You just treat society and the world around us so different. I love that. See, look at how great this conversation is. I feel like this is actually like a friend conversation. I'm digging it.
Yeah. And that's kind of the whole show. It's so funny. There was somebody, we were at Shakopee Market, Wendy and I, and somebody has a podcast, and they were talking about how we prepare. And Wendy used to, years ago when we first started, write every word down that she was going to say. And I just winged it. And I've been winging it ever since. But it is about conversation, and it's about real conversation, Native Roots Radio. And our relationship with you on the radio and outside, is it's about real things.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I went to MSUM's graduation today. That's what I was trying to make sure I can make this work. And that's where I went to college. And I had a December graduation. I feel like it's a blizzard here. I don't know what it's like in the cities. I feel like you guys have snow, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. We got six inches. I'm hiding in the house.
Yeah. I mean, well, now that I'm home, I stopped at the grocery store and we're going to have breakfast for dinner. And then DJ is actually doing snow removal for his job right now. And so he leaves like at night, works all night. And I've never had such an appreciation for like clear sidewalks at 7 a.m. So, you know, it's just, it is kind of crazy weather. But no, back to the graduation piece. It's so cool to go and sit on stage and be able to like watch people graduate, because it's such a huge accomplishment. And the coolest thing I noticed, so in May when I went, I noticed a bunch of Native graduates, which I love. The coolest part about today, and one of my takeaways, was the average age of the graduates is much older. And that says that like we're really taking advantage of higher education as a lifelong opportunity, that it's no longer just your 18, 19, 20 year olds going to college. I mean, these were like people my age, you know, late 30s, early 40s, that were going back to get, whether it's their first degree, another degree. But I thought that was a really neat takeaway. And I think it just says that, you know, a lot of us are maybe looking to level up our life or expand our skills. And so I did want to make a plug that like higher ed is a lifelong opportunity. And here in Minnesota, you know, we've done a lot to make higher education accessible. But also, you know, we do have a lot of graduates this time of year, and congratulations. And that work is just so hard. We talk about it a lot in May, but your accomplishments do not go overlooked. There's many people who are watching you, and you are going to do fantastic work in this world. I really believe that going to college is a choice, and it takes grit. And I was just so proud of all the graduates that I saw today, and want to extend that to anybody else who's celebrating graduations.
Well, Pinigigi, State Representative Heather Keeler, what a way to end the show. And happy holidays, and good thoughts and prayers to you and yours. And thank you so much for coming on, as always. It's always uplifting, always a great show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
Right now. Right now.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Dom Selvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You are listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report, 179 people are dead after a South Korean airliner crashed in Muan, South Korea. Two crew members are the only survivors of the 181 people aboard the Boeing 737-800. The BBC's Yuna Q says family members are at the airport.
There were many family members all together, and also most of them are South Korean nationals, although there were two Thai nationals as well.
Officials say investigators have recovered the black boxes. The 737 made a belly landing, then split apart and exploded, the BBC's Jonathan Head.
The investigation will have to assess why that the landing happened with the landing gear retracted, why it happened at such speed, and why the plane was unable to stop and come to a halt. It was still going at great speed when it shot off the end of the 2,800-meter runway and impacted against the earthen wall and then bursting into flames.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.